Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Triple M, Sunday
Sin Bin. And a very good afternoon right across New South Wales and Queensland, wherever you might be listening. Welcome to the Sunday Sin Bin. Before I go to the boys, just the scores that we've had overnight and through this round of the NRL. Panthers 20 have beaten the Broncos 12, Knights 26, Sharks 22, Storm 20, Roosters 4, Manly 36, Titans 4, Titans nil, I beg your pardon, Rabbitohs 18, Tigers 14, Parramatta 35, Raiders 10. We still have Panthers without a loss this year. Last time they lost a regular season game was the 12th of June last year. Obviously, they lost the grand final, but last time they lost a regular season game, June last year. Today, Dragons, Warriors, Cowboys, Dogs. It's all coming up. Cowboys with no Taumalolo. We'll talk more about that. Look who joins us in the studio, the great man, Gordon Tallis. Great to see you, big fella.
It's good to be here, finally. Was it round six? First time I'm in the studio down here, so been a pretty good weekend of footy, actually.
Yeah, must be a lot handier for you, though, mate, up there with little Billy and just right around the corner from home. You'd rather be here with me?
Yeah, well, it's always good to go away and worked a couple of nights on Fox, had a day off yesterday in Sydney, so went to one of the petrol stations and filled up, and now I'm here for work.
Went to one of the petrol stations and bought those glasses, did you? Is that what you did?
Yeah, pretty much.
Triple M's very own Alvin Purple, Paul Kent from NRL 360, welcome to you.
Hello, Anthony.
How's things with you, mate? You've had a good weekend?
A good weekend, yeah. I've had a good, nice time. I had a birthday party I went to last night.
Right, well, you might turn up in Maroon Confidential. My great friend James Triceps Hooper, also from Fox League. How are you going, Hoops?
Afternoon, Anthony.
Did you bring that cap, Triple M cap in with you, or did you grab that off someone's desk?
No, Charlie gave it to me last week, mate, when I reported for work.
Okay, all right, well, it's not my business. Let's talk about what's going on in the footy now. Obviously, the Rabbitohs had a massive win over the Tigers. Massive only in the fact that it was a wonderful game, all the twists and turns toward the end, and another two-point field goal. But the Rabbitohs get home 18-14. Out of that game, hot off the press, Hoops, you got some information about our man Latrell Mitchell.
Yeah, Latrell is looking at 3 weeks on the sideline as a result of that incident with David Nofaluma. We saw him go in and make some dangerous contact with Nofaluma's head neck region. Because of his previous match review committee history, it means that he's got some pretty heavy duty loading. So if he takes the early guilty plea, he's going to miss 3 weeks. Or if he tries to fight it and he's found guilty at the panel, he's looking at a month on the sideline. So that's big news for the Bunnies. That's not the only charge for Latrell out of last night. He also got hit with a couple of other contrary conduct charges as well. So he was in the thick of things. He had a great game, but he was redlining as well at times.
Yeah, what was the go with the little strike? That's obviously one of them, that little strike at the West Tigers reserve player.
The little strike?
Like he kicked back with his foot.
Well, thankfully he missed him. I think if he had actually connected with Luke Garner.
Was it Luke Garner?
It was Luke Garner. So there was a couple of the contrary conduct fines, both incidents relating to Luke Garner. One was the little strike, as you've called it, the little Mr. Miyagi sort of back kick, mule kick. And then the other one was when Luke Garner scored a try, Latrell kind of slid in and dropped his knees a little bit, which they frown upon these days. So they've fined him for that as well.
He's got that in his game, though. He's got to get it out. It's not good seeing that. And Latrell's had that in his game for quite some time. And that shot on Nofaluma was ordinary. It was really poor. And it was a really poor job, too, I think, by the match officials to actually leave him on the field. Because I just think that the way the game's moving and the direction we're going in, we seem to tolerate these days a hit in the head, and just seems, that's what happens in the game. There was a time it wasn't tolerated. High tackles were considered dog shots. Now, they're a dime a dozen. They're in every game, and it's because they're so common that we just seem to go, we'll just move along. It's not anything worse than I've seen other times. But that's why they're so common.
Well, we had all the huff and puff only 3 or 4 weeks ago after Felice Kaufusi wasn't sin bin for the Ryan Madison incident. We haven't seen Madison back on the field since then. But we were told people were going to be sin binned and people were going to be sent off. We've seen a couple, but look, nowhere near the extent that was threatened.
You can understand the referee getting it wrong, but you can't excuse the bunker getting it wrong. And I don't know what they do in that bunker, but it seems like they're reading books in there.
You know what I mean? Not books about rugby league.
They don't let the Redfern Rocket in there.
Well, but you know what I mean? They're obviously distracted.
Yeah.
They haven't got the courage to actually officiate the game. They seem to have this idea, well, if the referee didn't see anything wrong with it, we'll go on. But they're up there to be his eyes and ears. That's what they're there for. That's why the NRL spends $2 million a year for.
Well, we're going to try and get Michael Maguire on in the course of the show, so stand by for that. I know our producer, Chica White's chasing up Madge. What about you, Gordy? Did you see any of the games yesterday? Firstly, this Rabbitohs game. Now, a lot of the so-called experts suggested we wouldn't see a two-point field goal. We've already seen three this year and two from Adam Reynolds.
Well, Adam Reynolds, that was unbelievable, wasn't it? 40-something, probably 10 or so metres to the right of the goalpost, and he hits it so sweet. And it's a big play in our game, and it gets South Sydney home. You know, it's South are a little bit down at the moment, and the Tigers, especially after last week, I thought that was, you know, the most embarrassing performance I've seen this season. And then they turned it around. It was a great attitude, and they got into South, and South were lucky to get home, but they just had the class to get there in the end.
Yeah, it was such a brave play, did you think, Gordy, from Reynolds, given the stage of the game, the scoreline, and the risk involved in trying to nail that kick precision?
It's brave, but they practice it. Like, you know, even the forwards have a kick and try to kick field goals at training. So it's something that everybody likes doing. And we saw Cleary do it against the Broncos as well. And they've got it. They work on it really hard. They work on their field goals just as hard as any other part of their game. It was brave because it would have been a 7-tackle set to the Tigers.
And Reynolds is the best at it too.
But you got to back yourself. And the way those two players are playing this year, well, they just backed themselves. I don't think that they thought they were going to miss. And if they do miss, the team's got to be, hey, come on, boys, let's, you know, we got one extra, what's one extra tackle? But that's your mindset. Don't go, oh, God, they got seven. Boys, just one extra tackle.
I reckon they actually should get rid of that 7-tackle set now that we've got the set restarts.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
I just think it's becoming irrelevant.
Well, I tell you, I never liked it in the first place.
I thought it was a dumb rule, but
really comes into its own in a golden point game. If you miss your field goal, the other mob have got 7 tackles coming off their own 20. They're going to get a shot.
Well, that was what added to that epic contest yesterday between the Tigers and the Bunnies was Reynolds nails the 44 metres or whatever it was, 2-point field goal. Then he misses the conversion to send the Bunnies to the front and then misses a field goal as well. And then we end up with big Tommy Burgess going on that crazy 22-25 metre run, stepping inside the fullback, somehow getting over the line and getting the ball down. And the Tigers still thinking that they're a chance, scooping it up, and Luke Brooks runs 100 metres. It was that game yesterday. That's up there with the best games I can remember in quite a long time. It was just not in terms of every element of it being brilliant play, but it was just so entertaining and gripping theatre. You're on the edge of your seat the whole time.
Well, I wonder what that now does. Probably doesn't change anything in relation to Adam Reynolds and Adam Reynolds' future. But in the fair dinkum department, if I'm a team like the Gold Coast, I'm looking at Adam Reynolds as well, Gordy.
Well, he just shows that his man management and his game management is to a point now where it's so important in the game. And, you know, your kicking set, Adam's got that ability that if your forwards are struggling, he can kick you out of trouble. You know what I mean? And they can just give you that extra 10 or 15 metres and he can get you on the front foot with his kicking game. And then, you know, to hit a field goal like that, you know, to win games, and we saw Cleary, as I said, it's a bonus. Mm. And he's negotiating at the moment, and his stock's not dropping.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I don't know how you felt as a West Tigers fan on the back of that game.
He shattered.
No, you know what? Gordon, I was proud and relieved because after the opening 40 minutes against Leichhardt Oval, they're the days that you do have a hard look in the mirror and go, That was tough. Like that's as a supporter of any club, they're the ones that are really difficult to swallow. The losses like that, where you just feel as though your team's not having a go at all.
And when you've got every fan of the game was going for West last week.
That's it.
Yeah, like you're sitting there and like that. I might have to call the last game, so I'm sitting there thinking, They're going to be emotional. They're going to come out. They're going to have the dig, the theatre of walking out with the number seven. I thought, they're going to have a go here. Mm. Leichhardt's one of the hardest places I've played. It's a graveyard, for size. They always talk about Leichhardt being, what is it, the eighth wonder of the world. You know, and it's a Sunday afternoon. It was packed. House was sold out.
Kenty was out there.
Yeah.
And everybody can live with their team winning and losing, right?
Mm.
But not having a go.
That's it, Gordon.
And effort. And you judge them on effort. And I thought that their effort was poor last week. But last night, they come back.
I can never recall the Tigers, any Tigers side, but Balmain, but West Tigers, being booed off Leichhardt Oval.
Mm.
So for it to get to that stage, it was like, oh, wow, that was a really tough loss to swallow. But when they go out like they did last night, roll the sleeves up, come off the back fence and have a crack, well, if you lose, then so be it. That's part of it. But you stick loyal because you're happy that at least they tried to hold their hands up.
But last night was where they're trying to get to. That's what was impressive. Like the Tigers, Mike Maguire's been after one thing since he got to the club, and it was a performance like last night, and they didn't get the result. But if they keep playing like they did last night, they're going to start getting results. And there were a couple of lapses here and there in the game, but you play that with effort and those lapses become less and less, and eventually you become a team that's a top four team. That's the way to get there, is to duplicate what happened last night for longer periods. It's as simple as that. Mm. So the Tigers actually, they've got no excuses now. They showed last night that if they go out and have a dig, they can go all right. Mm. So you're not going to accept those performances like the week before, which was totally unacceptable. And thankfully, they were shamed into having a go like they did last night. And like I said, they keep playing like they did, they will eventually become a good side.
Yeah, and that's what they bring. I mean, that's what you get paid to do. Like, you know, when you boil it all down as a footy player, that's what you have to pack at home when you're leaving and you're saying goodbye to your wife and kids. Or you got to pack your attitude. And it's free, and it's what you bring to the game, and that's what they don't. All the skill, and you know, like if you're getting beaten by a kicking game and it's poor, and you know, you're putting on all your plays and you're getting through your sets, well, we can look at the coach and go, well, maybe he's got to come up with a few more creative players or plays. But when it's coming and it's just line speed and it's kick chase and it's going there and tackling harder than the others and just running hard, it's just old fashioned, but it wins. It is the most important thing in our game. The more the game has changed and everybody wants to talk, you know, about the middle third and digging in and all that, that's still the most important play.
On that, you must have loved what you saw from the Tigers debutant, Jake Simpkin, playing out of dummy half.
Yeah, well,
he just had a crack.
That's it. And that's all you can ask. Like that's what, and then the rest of it, you work on your game, and that's where you got Monday to Friday to work on your skills and fine-tune everything. But you got to pack your attitude. Yeah, mate, I love it.
But where did you blokes find – talk me through the Tom Burgess try. What was going on? Do you think the Tigers were just setting for the field goal? Think the field goal was coming?
Yeah, because the big forward runs straight past him because it's in his mindset, put pressure on the kicker, let's stop him from kicking that. And he's running. Big George has gone, you saw his face in slow motion.
It opened up like Sydney Heads, the gap.
Yeah, well, mate, it had to be for like him to get through the gap. And he just runs through and he's got great leg speed for a big fella and he had the awareness and – I thought he dropped the ball, but there was enough pressure. I don't think he had control. I don't think he had the greatest grip on the football, but there's no doubt that he puts it down.
That vision of Madge was so cruel at the end, where when they go to it and you can see and they've got him up on the big screen and it's that moment when he realises he's got it down.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah, well, next week that sets it up for a beauty, the Rabbitohs and the Titans. And that game will be at 6 o'clock on Friday afternoon, which means you'll hear all the action here on the Triple M Network.
Can I just check, will you be making any entertaining bets in lieu of
I mean, I'm happy to have a little wager with Gordon if he wants to have a bet on a restaurant at Broadbeach or something. But,
yeah, perfect.
Well,
normally when you bet with someone, you bet with someone that you know that's going to pay up.
I do pay up.
You know what I mean? So that's what a bet is. I think a bet is when either side that loses, you know.
Even Justin Holbrook sledges you now because you don't pay your bets.
Yeah, well, hang on. Who was that out there at the grand final singing Go the Mighty Panthers? Who was that?
That was you.
That's one.
I didn't make the stupid bet about the Titans. You made it for me.
You said the Rooster bet.
All over the country.
Right, okay, we're going to go down that road.
Where's the Rooster bet? Dress up as a Rooster.
What do we want? A history lesson here. We want a history lesson.
I'll tell you what, I'll spare you the history lesson, right, but there is a little bit of breaking news. So Matt from Collaroy has been in touch with the program. I'm curious, whereabouts were you last night Anthony.
Why would I tell you?
Were you at a function or?
Well, the thing is, I've learned not to tell you these things in private. Why would I tell you on air?
Well, this is what Mac from Collaroy's been in touch with us about. Anthony, thank you again for doing that charity trivia for me last night. Agreeing to do it for 25% less was truly charitable on your part.
Right.
Regarding the tiebreaker question, which your table snared, congratulations. I've done a bit of research and J.R. Ewing was indeed off Dallas and not Dynasty. This is where it gets interesting.
Yeah, that's correct.
I apologise for the crosswords and wholeheartedly apologise for my great uncle Pat asking you outside. He's doing okay. Yeah. Just a hairline fracture. Jaws heal quickly, according to the surgeon. Can't wait to catch up again. No hard feelings at my end. Friends forever in trivia.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's no. Well, I was going to keep it a secret, but I was at a function last night with both Maddie and Joey, and Uncle Pat was there. Can't he talk? If you reckon Maddie and Joey can have a few drinks and talk, what about this pest Uncle Pat? What an absolute pestosaurus your Uncle Pat is.
Is that how he got the fractured jaw?
Yeah. Well,
what have you done to Uncle Pat?
Oh, he just gibbers away. Cessnock's got the best this. Cessnock's got the best fish and chips. Cessnock's got the best. Pubs. There's a bloke in Cessnock owns a collection of blah blah. I said, Pat, I don't care whose uncle you are, you're a pestosaurus, rack off. And I give him a little push, face down he went. I have apologised, everything's all right.
Is that your coin just confirmed? Is that your first fight since Randy Wicks and the jukebox incident?
My first
jukebox incident.
It's my first fight.
Why don't you tell everybody the jukebox incident?
Because I don't want to end up in it.
Come on, tell them.
Well, I'll tell you the last fight before Uncle Pat was on July 1987 outside the Maroubra Seals Club.
Right.
Somebody bumped me on the dance floor while Everybody Have Fun Tonight was playing by Wang Chung.
Wang Chung.
So I went out the front with him and he threw a punch at me and missed. So I threw one at him. Mm. Glasses went flying off my head, but I collected him in the head. Then I broke the 100-meter record up Marine Parade. Jumped in a Legion cab and went home. That was my last fight.
Winner by 100 yards.
Yeah. All right, now let's...
I still want to hear the jukebox incident.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you off here.
Or maybe a bit of Wang Chung.
All right, boys, see if you can concentrate on what you're paid for, and that's to talk about footy. All right.
Pretty much entertainment.
So we're going to speak to Tom Burgess in the course of the afternoon, and think Madge McGuire as well. So Madge has obviously got some thoughts and issues about that game yesterday, but as they say, Maggie, you know I love you. Read the results in the paper tomorrow, old boy. It'll show you that the Rabbitohs are right up there near the competition front runners. There's other games that we can talk about, including the Titans Manly game and also the Eels and Raiders with Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, James the Human Triceratops Hooper, and Maroon. We'll take a break and we're back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to it. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon here. Panthers 20, Broncos 12, Knights 26, Sharks 22, Storm 20, Roosters 4, and the Titans come crushing down to earth. Manly 36, Titans 0, Rabbitohs 18, Tigers 14, Parramatta 35, Raiders 10. Panthers, congratulations to them. Still have not lost a game. Dogs have still not won a game, but they have a game this afternoon. At Tyre Power's huge store-wide super sale, you buy three, you get one free on Kumo passenger and SUV tyres. Now, the other good game last night, wow, I was surprised to see the score hoops that the Eels put on the Raiders in Canberra, of all places.
Yeah, 15 years since Parramatta had been able to win down in the national capital. Cracking game. Eels shot themselves out of a cannon early. They had no Dylan Brown. Mitchell Moses seemed to be relishing the additional responsibility. Parramatta's pack, headed by up until last night. Well, you know what? A lot of people have been singing his praises, actually, for a fair bit of the year. Isaiah Papali'i. He's not one of the big money buyers of the season, but there's no questions he's one of the value money buyers of the season. He took the Raiders on very early, really took the game to them, scored a great try, and as a result, the Eels were playing off the front foot.
Yeah, and then even last week when they got beaten by the Dragons, he got three restarts, like himself. He just runs so hard. He actually wins the collision. Like he must be so strong in contact. And last night, as you said, he was there. Well, I reckon in the last 2 weeks, he's been probably one of their best forwards, or if not their best.
Yep.
You know,
I think a lot of people, boys, think Parramatta, top four, no dramas. Taking that next step, a lot of people would think no. But I think they're starting to change their tune a little bit now with Brown and Moses and Gutherson and the like.
Well, they were flat the week earlier against St. George Illawarra. A lot of people were surprised at the way that the Dragons really took the contest to them. And Brad Arthur spoke about this in his press conference last night. He said, to your point earlier, Gordon, he challenged his players to go after the collision, to hunt the collision. Yep. And they did it against the Raiders. They were off the week earlier. But you're right, Maroon, they've been called flat-track bullies, great front runners, all those sorts of jibes. The only way they're going to fix it is come the business end of the year, they've got to win some big games.
Yeah, and to be throwing big heavy punches at the end of the year, you've got to go to Canberra and you've got to beat Canberra and Canberra. You've got to go to Melbourne and beat Melbourne and Melbourne. You've got to go and play the Panthers out there and beat them. And then they're the stepping stones. And then when you get to the end of the year, that's what you look back on. Yeah. And that's what gives you the confidence.
It's a concern for Canberra to get beat so comprehensively at home like that. You could forgive the loss the week before against Penrith. Things happened in the game, but I think there's a few alarm bells have to come out of that game the other night.
Well, they've lost three of their last four, the Raiders, and Ricky Stewart had plenty to say.
It was disappointing, mate. We had a massive crowd and every reason to make them proud of us, and we embarrassed ourselves in front of what could have been a night to make them proud of our effort and the team they support. But I feel sorry for them, and I feel sorry for Caleb Aikens. He didn't deserve that tonight. We were embarrassed.
Were you out of these tonight?
100% we were. Not the team, individuals. Don't put everybody in that category. But there's individuals there were leaning on others. Individuals there waiting for someone else to do it. Individuals there that are happy putting on an NRL jumper and burning it, thinking they're an NRL player. There's a number of individuals that are letting the team down. And once they understand the hard, cold truth of it all, and or I've got to find someone else, hopefully that's it, there's an improvement. But it's hard to take.
Well, that's Ricky Stewart last night at the press conference after the Parramatta game. Talk us through this, Gordy. Like, if you had Ricky Stewart as a coach, and you know the job that's in front of you anyway, you're an NRL player, it's a big crowd, it's a home game, it's a big game, how can you be unenthused?
Well, some days you go to the office and you're not good. You should know some days you come in here on Sunday and you're really poor at what you do. So, like, that's, no, Marine, like, that's a hard thing. You know, week in, week out, like, we're six, you know, a week's in. You know, every side's been up for, like, a month. And sometimes mentally going there and turning up and doing, but that's what you get paid to do and that's what you're supposed to do. And they were down on it. And Ricky knows, and it would have been more individuals. And what happens is some bloke doesn't turn up and it makes your job harder, and then you take your foot off the accelerator as well. And it's contagious. And then when someone goes down there in a kick chase and he sprints down there and traps someone in the in-goal, that's contagious as well. So, Ricky didn't name him, but I'm sure that if all those Raiders players looked at their own performance and sitting in the video, I'll tell you what, sitting in the video room would be interesting. You'd like to be a fly on the wall because you try to hide.
Mm. You know? He'll know about it. They'll know about it today.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Well, I suppose, though, it's only – what are we, round six? I mean, they've had two shellackings from two quality sides in the last fortnight, but they can absolutely now turn this into a positive and hardly skip a beat. I mean, we've still got 19-odd games till the season ends.
No, it's definitely not too early by any stretch, Anthony, but I reckon where Ricky will be asking questions is, Josh Hodgson's a champion player. He's come back from major injury this year, and they flew into the finals last year off the back of being unlocked when Hodgson actually got injured, and it meant that Jack Whiten and Georgie Williams took on more responsibility, were running the football a lot more, were getting the ball a lot earlier, and were the primary decision makers in the side. And, last night, Hodgson laid on a great try for Georgie Williams early in the piece to put the Raiders back into the contest. But I thought it was a bit telling that towards the end of the game, Ricky decided he was going to take him off, and he put little Tommy Starling on, and I wonder if he's starting to have question marks about the best balance of his side in terms of their attack and how he decides he wants to try and play that out.
Well, so you reckon that Hodgson's what too dominant from?
Well, that's the theory, is that at times he can take away, as good as he is, like, don't get me wrong, it was only, was it last year where I think Sterlo came out and said that he'd gone past Cameron Smith as the best hooker in the game after the Raiders beat Melbourne early in the season down in Melbourne. But there is a theory that, his dominance can at times subdue the involvement of the other halves and them getting the early ball that they prefer.
Yeah, they've got to find a balance there. There's no doubt about that. And the thing is though, Hodgson at his best is an extremely dominant player. And when Hodgson's at his best, Canberra are at their best. So you can't dull that in their attack. You've just got to get the other guys to find a way to work with him. I think George Williams most of the time does a pretty good job of working with him.
Yeah. Listen, I asked Cameron Smith one day when I was doing the TV and it was around Origin. I said, who do you pass the ball to? In the side there was Cooper Cronk was 14. I think Lockie was 5'8", Thurston. He goes, whoever I want to. And that's what – so he's got to have the confidence in the player or see what's ahead of him. And those young guys have to get his confidence.
Mm.
Like the great players, if there's nothing called, they run it. So they've got to – you know, like they've got to want to take a bit of the baton and a bit of the rope off him as well.
In fairness to Josh last night too, it looked as though he picked up some sort of niggling injury, some sort of leg. Like he was sort of hobbling around. He soldiered through it for most of it. But he did look as though he did have some sort of cork or something going on.
Boys, we've got a game that kicks off in half hour's time or thereabouts, the Dragons and the Warriors. So we'll get your score updates for that game.
And don't the Titans play today?
The Titans played yesterday and were beaten 36-0 by Manly.
I thought they played today.
No, they bat today.
They didn't play yesterday.
Yeah. Yes, well, that's right. They bat today and next week they've got the Rabbitohs. Oh. So we'll have a little wager on that.
Yeah, cool.
What are you thinking, Anthony?
I'm thinking just a nice dinner somewhere. Yeah. Maybe up there. When next time I'm up at Broadie. He's at Broadie a bit.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Take you to Bar 19.
Oh, okay.
Well, could this be part of the date with Tate?
Well, I don't know if we want Tommy Tate there. You know, he'll only want to talk about footy. Me and Gordy, you got other interests.
Well, here he's in training. Tommy Tate.
Oh, please, Tommy Tate.
What?
Mate, I could beat Tommy Tate.
He'll end up like Uncle Pat if he's not careful.
Yeah, he will. He'll have more than a hairline fracture.
And is he?
Yeah, he'll have more than a hairline fracture. We'll take a break. We'll guess
on. Just on this game that you touched on, kicks off in around about half an hour, 31 minutes from now. Josh Maguire into the Dragons side. So big inclusion for them. He obviously made the midweek switch from the North Queensland Cowboys, and Anthony Griffin's thrown him straight into the mix.
It's amazing, isn't it, that you can be at one camp 1 week and then 2,000 k's away playing for a whole other side on the Sunday.
So you could be at community radio next week.
Which one? The one in Taree? That'll do me. Boys, we'll take a break. We'll come back and we will take a look at the other game very quickly, Manly and the Titans, with Manly winning that one 36-0. But we've got one of the heroes of yesterday coming on, Tom Burgess, the runaway try, the runaway freight train, the Redfern Express will join us next as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. And we've got Gordy Tallis live in the studio today with Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon. And congratulations to the beautiful town of Mudgee too for turning on a wonderful afternoon for footy yesterday. Great home of rugby league is Mudgee, Glen Willow Oval. But look, of course, the game everybody's talking about is the Rabbitohs beating the Tigers by 18 points to 14. And now, of course, Fox called that game. Our very own Dan Ganane. Here's the last couple of minutes of the game.
Go shallow.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Burgess down the middle. Dane Laurie in his way. Tom Burgess!
He's dropped it.
He has claimed it. Tom Burgess. Hang on.
It's now, play on.
It's play on. Luke Brooks is going all the way. He's going 100 metres. So far, Sutton's letting this go. The game is going to end on this play, one way or the other. This is the most remarkable end. Way to lose a game. What a game. South 18, West Tigers 14.
Yeah, a big win for the Bunnies there, and we bring in the hero of the day, the Rabbitohs, Tom Burgess. Tom, welcome to the Sunday Sin Bin.
Hey, boys, how you going? Thanks for having me.
Mate, did you immediately know that you got that ball down, or were you just bluffing?
No, honest to God, I knew I'd got some sort of downward pressure on it, and yeah, I was pretty confident. And the boys were all, I think everyone in the team came up to me. You got it, yeah, you got it. You definitely got it. And they didn't really believe me because I've had a few slam dunks last year. but yeah, mate, I was happy. I was happy the footage got it. and they stopped it at the right time. And yeah, but you know, I've seen those ones go either way, so heart was definitely in the mouth at that point.
What were you thinking, Tom, when you saw Luke Brooks pick up the ball and scoot down the other end? The referee gave him the try.
I was thinking, boys, what are you doing? Get off me. You should have played to the whistle.
Yes.
Mate, was that supposed to be the play, Tommy? Because it looked like that it was going to go behind you to try to kick a field goal or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I know there was a bit of talk around it being a set play, but it definitely wasn't a set play. I'm sorry to disappoint everyone. We didn't plan that training, me going through the middle, but no, it just happened like that way. I mean, it just shows Cookie's got that vision. They obviously shot out on Renault because he thought he was going to go for the drop goal, and it just opened up for the middle there. And yeah, it just went through the middle. It was easiest way to the try line, I suppose.
At what stage did you decide you were just going to pin the ears back?
Mate, within the milliseconds that I had a chance to make a decision, I just thought, my best chance is just to pin my ears back and just run, try to get around him. And yeah, they definitely scrambled. They had numbers there back there. I think I had Lea Lua hanging off the back of me whilst I was trying to put the ball down. And yeah, it was, I'm just glad I got it down. But yeah, it would have been a different story if I'd not.
Mm. You know what? It's funny kind of way, and maybe Madge was thinking the same. It reminded me of the 2014 Grand Final when George went straight through and put the Rabbitohs back in front. I think George had a little bit more work to do though, Tom.
Yeah, mate. No, it's different. I think that one was a bit of deception at the rook, and then George bumped off a few, but. Mm. Yeah, it's similar, you know, a similar sort of feeling, I think. But we've not won any grand finals just yet, so I'm not getting too carried away.
Hey, Tommy, what has Wayne Brennett brought to South Sydney that wasn't there before he arrived?
I think he's just brought a bit of calmness around us. When we're getting into the high pressure end of the season, I think, you know, because we were, you know, a top team, I think. Coming in, Wayne was coming in. We made the prelim, a couple of years before that, and I think he just brings that, he's pretty calm nature, himself, and I think he just gets rugby league, gets his players, he knows how to get them up for games, manage the season right, and that's one thing he really does. He's not really big into the X's and O's anymore. He's just he manages his team very well.
He was never into them.
No.
He looked like he was about to start doing a bit of twisting and twirling, Tommy, in the dressing sheds after when he must have been speaking about your try. What was going on there?
He was just having a bit of a chat to the boys, and I think he said, put your hands up if you thought Tom had got it down. He's having a bit of a joke. No one thought I'd got it down, but I did, and the bunker did, so that was the main thing.
Happy days.
And what about, Tom, where are we at, or what are your thoughts on the whole Adam Reynolds thing, mate? I mean, hate to put you in a spot there, but he kicked another 2-point field goal last night and was much the hero as you were, really.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the beauty for us players is we don't have to wage in on these sort of discussions. I think, there's been a lot of chat, has it been an issue for us at training? And it really hasn't. I think it's just one of those things that happens in football and professional sport. You know, players, have to get into contract negotiations and your teammates, they're not really, they're not involved in that. It's not something that they're involved in or they have a say on. It's the club's point of view and the player who's in that, contract negotiation. So I think Renault's been upfront with us and said, look, this is what I'm doing. When I come to a decision, you boys will be the first to know. So that's all you can ask really from your teammate.
But in a way though, Tom, it is affecting everybody's future there at the club, because if the club don't put a substantial deal or a satisfying deal to Reynolds and he leaves, then that means next year you're playing without him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. He's a big part of the team, and I'd like to see him stay. I'd like, obviously, I want him to stay, and I'm no doubt most of the team would share that opinion, and it's just hopefully we can, you know, I think we were in this position last year with AJ, and you know he played on and he sort of and they found a way, and he's still here. So mate, you never know. We'll just see what happens.
Okay, well, mate, you've got a big game next week. It's the Titans. It's a Friday night game. You're up against the likes of Big Tino and the likes of David Fifita. I'm going to have a little wager with Gordy because I'm a Rabbitohs man. Gordy's Titans. How do you see this game going? Are you going to score the winning try again, Tom?
I don't know, mate. I'll try. All I can do is get the ball and run it hard and straight and they try to get the boys on the front foot. But, you know, they've got a mad pack. They've done some great recruitment up there, and the boys have been playing really well. I think a bit of a lapse, you know, yesterday, I think, with that scoreline. We won't read too much into that, but I think they'll definitely be wanting to bounce back against us next week.
Okay, mate. Well, look, we'll catch up with you again in the course of the year. Best of luck, Tom.
Cheers, boys. Thanks. Have a good one.
Good on you, mate. Cheers. Tom Burgess joining us from the South Sydney Rabbitohs. I forgot to mention, too, that George, his brother, has got a movie in cinemas right now called Ascendant, where he plays a Russian standover guy. So might go and have a look at that. I mean, acting, very got some great acting ilk in the Rabbitohs club, obviously. Russell Crowe, the greatest actor of all time. Yeah. Roger Corse is a good South man. Matty Nable's a South man.
Clint Eastwood, the head coach.
Is Matty Nable a South man? I thought he was a man.
No, yeah. Matty's a South man.
Oh, okay.
Matty's a South man. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's a South man.
And Maroon, you've been acting as a radio host for a while.
Yes. Oh, it's good to have you back in the studio, mate. We've really missed you. Not. Boys, we'll take a little bit of a break. We'll come back. We'll discuss matters more pertinent to rugby league. And I know that Hoops has got a lot of stuff there that he's been checking out with his colleagues in and around the place. Hoops, what can we look forward to from you?
We can look forward to plenty, Anthony. Right. All matters pertinent to rugby league, as always.
Okay, well, we'll come back and we'll have a look at some of the other matters. Not so specifically focused on the game, such as Harry Grant, the NRL, are they doing enough about discussion? That sort of thing.
I think you mean concussion, Anthony.
What did I say?
Discussion. Well, just for the record, I know you've been doing this 40 years, but I'll just give you a little hand there.
Yes. Well, maybe I meant to say discussion. Are they doing enough about discussion? Anyway, you could help me. I mean, I'm doing all the lifting while you... Who are you texting there? Your mother?
You've tried to throw us under the bus.
You've ended up under the L90 yourself.
It's on, brother. We'll take a break and come back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M, Sunday CMB. Triple M rocks footy.
Well, welcome back to it. And right across Australia, wherever you might be listening on the Triple M app or all through Queensland and New South Wales. Still to come, some big guests coming up. Parramatta fan Sean Lane will join us. Michael Maguire joins us as well. And the guys will discuss the Sharkies' future with Craig Fitzgibbon. So stick around. All NRL matters will be discussed. Now, of course, over the weekend, we had some more incidents around concussion and head knocks and HIA. But before we go to that, Gordy, you have been spotted down at Double Bay having lunch with Jake Friend.
No, I didn't.
Well, that's what my mail was. You were down.
No. I went to have lunch with little Georgia Frizzell, actually, little Billy's godmother.
Right.
And Jake walked in.
Right.
And I got up from meeting and shook his hand because I think he's had a wonderful career. And I congratulated him on like his career, and I asked how he was going, and he was so disappointed with, you know, the Roosters losing. And he goes, and we... you know, needed a hooker and I can't get out there to help my teammates because I'd still be playing if they didn't medically retire me. So tough for his own good, you know, like, you know, so many NRL players and people in sport that don't know when they're beaten, and he's had a tremendous career and got no more to prove.
Yeah. You know,
especially with the concussions around now and the protocol was. And, you know, just talking to him yesterday, I just sensed that if the Roosters or the game didn't make him medically retire, that he'd be still out there doing the sport that he loved.
Yeah, and recently, I believe, became a father. He's set himself up pretty well in business too, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's got a plumbing business. Yeah. He's got a cafe.
At Prince of Wales.
Is that high society?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yep,
yeah, up
it.
In Randwick.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, so I think that's doing really well. The Roosters have done a terrific job at helping Jake set himself up in terms of life after football. Yeah.
Really good fella.
Yeah, and just happy as well that he finally got like that Origin series last year. For him to get a crack in it and for Queensland to win the way that they did.
Well, there's so many things about that. His career. That.
Like, he was their player of the series too.
Like they
did he get the
for the Queensland? They were booing him. We were there one Triple M game.
Yeah,
they
I remember.
Were booing him,
I remember they were booing him saying taxi Radley for Friend.
Yeah, mate. And for him, when you talk about Reynolds, you know, negotiating, and these guys want to, he dug his heels in and kept on fighting and fighting and fighting, and then won more competitions.
Yeah,
and captain of the joint. So like, then that's the, you know, that's the cloth that he's made with. You know, like they were booing him to get Victor Radley on, and that wouldn't be nice for any player if they're booing and, you know, yelling at your name, and it wasn't the opposition fans. I got booed a lot, but you know, it was your own fans.
Absolutely. One of the most disgraceful things I've seen from the Roosters fans that night. No, honestly, booing a veteran of their club, it doesn't matter what club it was.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Just disgraceful. And I just will add, it would never happen at our club, but I'll leave that right there. Now, of course, Harry Grant.
the Waterloo Waratahs.
No, they won last week.
Did they?
The A-grade won.
Yeah.
The A-grade Waterloo Waratahs. I don't know who they play, but they won. I got about 10 messages from Ian Vernon, the great drummer from the Broken Watch Band, telling me that the Waratahs won. But he didn't tell me who they beat.
Yeah, the Brumbies.
It doesn't matter who they beat. They won. Don't worry about that. If someone could text me and tell me. Harry Grant, of course, left the game or left the field for an HIA test about 10 minutes after the incident. Now, Gus Gould had plenty to say about that.
Well, they've put him a head bin because of that knock he took before he scored the try, before he did the other brilliant thing and the other brilliant thing after that. I mean, he's much as bad in the head bin as I am. Why is he off in the head bin? He got a bit of a knock, but he's done three or four brilliant things and scored a try since then, and now they get a free replacement in the head bin? Give me a break.
Well, this is the thing. He scored a try. Yeah. And, you know, how did you see that, Paul?
I think Gould's spot on. I think the rule's being exploited.
But wouldn't that have come from the independent... doctor, look, yeah, but you would think.
Look, the clubs are pretending they don't see these things, and then they're seeing it later. Yeah, okay, we didn't see it when it initially happened. 5 minutes later, someone reviewed it. Yeah, but that's what they're claiming, Gord. Yeah. We're getting ourselves into this problem now because the doctors are have such a big say in this now. Clubs are almost divesting themselves of any responsibility, and they're just going, you know what? It's the doctor's call, not my call. He, as far as I'm concerned, he plays until the doctor calls him off. So that's making the doctors panic because they're saying, well, okay, this is all on my shoulders now. Mm. And they feel like they're getting no help from the clubs because the clubs are just basically, like I said, they've just no responsibility here. It's all on the doctor. But what clubs are doing now is they're using it to get free interchanges. And this is the hard part we're going to get into the game where we're going to have to start saying, well, are they genuine or are they not? And this is where we're probably going to have to get more. I think we need...
Well, Melbourne had 11, right? I think they had 8. There was 3 HIAs, was there? And they used all 8. So the Roosters used 6 interchange. So they used 3 more than any other side.
Well, I know there was a discussion after the game between Craig Bellamy and Trent Robinson about the interchange and its plastic use and how adaptable it's now becoming, this head bin rule, because look, Cameron Munster clearly faked a head injury, went off at, well, I think,
but
it was,
he did get hit.
I think it was 27. But he faked the injury, Gordy,
and he went to get a free interchange.
Okay, but he was off for 27 seconds.
Yep,
so the rule is, if you go off for an interchange, you're not off for 27 seconds. You're off. You go through the whole process.
Yeah. Yep.
And you're off for the 10 or 15 that you got to do. But because Cameron Munster is a playmaker and not a middle forward, they didn't want him off for 10 or 15 minutes. Yep. And that's the issue the game's got. And I thought
Bromwich was a genuine, and I thought Pappenhausen was one too. Because Pappenhausen, that was a pretty big collision. So,
you're surprised he came back. But this is why. See, the argument against independent doctors is that the club doctors get to know the players and they know their personalities and their traits, and they can... because they have a deeper knowledge of what the player's persona is, I suppose, that they can see whether the player's injured or not. Technically, they should be able to pick up the stuff that they think someone who's not familiar with the player wouldn't be able to see. But that's not happening. I think clubs, doctors, and they all spew about this, but they are making decisions based on footy decisions. There's clearly some that are getting them off when they can cuss, but there are other things where they're complicit in the in manipulating the head bin rule, and they're doing that, and they're part of it.
the whole thing's shrouded in so much mystery because at times clubs will refer to the independent doctors. At other times they'll refer to, well, hang on, that's our own doctors. And all of it comes under the umbrella of medical professionals, of which none of us are experts.
Yeah.
And the minute that you start to ask any sort of hard questions around it, well, you're questioning their integrity.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, upset. Yeah, the feathers prick up and everybody starts to really raise eyebrows. So I think the NRL, as much as they're doing the best they can in what's a really trying space, but there needs to be more transparency, Gordon, because at the moment, like I think when Jakey Friend retired, there was a story that came out saying the Roosters had done their homework and he'd suffered something like 20-plus concussions over the course of his career. Now, how do we know that? Like, where is that information stored? Has anybody gone through all the tapes and all that sort of thing? And that's where it becomes a real grey area at what's a super serious issue.
It's always going to be grey because you don't see it. You know what I mean? Like, you can see when someone's limping and you can do it, but, you know, when you get a hit to the head, you know what I mean? And you wobble and there's interchange and it's that moment. I just think, you know, maybe if you come off for more than two HIAs, right, in a month, you got to spend two weeks out or something like, you know what I mean, like a boxer.
Well, you almost got to have like a, well, in boxing you get knocked out.
What is it now, 11 days?
Is it 11 days though, Hoops? I don't know if it is. I think if you get two in 2 weeks,
it's 11 days.
But I reckon you almost got to start saying, well, I don't know. It's going to change the game tremendously if you start bringing in those sorts of rules. Mm. Boxing, if you get knocked out, you're out. You can't fight for 3 months.
Wow.
You're not supposed to be back in the gym. They do spar a little bit. Mm. And no one records gym spars and concussions there. But in rugby league, we're going to have to start at some point standing down players at some point who are having repeated concussions for mandatory periods. The hard part is you can't look at it like, you can't x-ray a brain and say, okay, mate, that's a 3-week concussion or that's a 4-week concussion, for example. And now we know as soon as someone does a medial or they break a bone, you know how long they're going to be out for based on what happens with every other injury that's come previous to that. With the brain, everyone's different. It affects some people vastly different than others. But at some point, they're going to have to start figuring it out because coaches right now are exploiting the rules.
Yeah, all right, boys. Well, we'll take a break. I think that you probably, before we do the Hoops, copped a few knocks to the head. But as a little kid, I reckon some of the flashbacks you have. And
he was dropped a lot.
Hard to argue with.
All right, boys, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Sean Lane from the Parramatta Reels joins us. We'll talk about the Sharks signing Craig Fitzgibbon. How did the guys see all that with Bomber Morris? And we'll do a little bit of fun with I Call BS. It's all coming up. And we'll have score updates too for Warriors Dragons as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.